Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Lucy Porter here, and as the minute waltz fades away, it is an unadulterated delight and an unequivocal privilege to welcome you to Just a Minute, and of course to welcome our remote audience joining us from homes all over the UK, or even maybe all over the world. All over the world, like Tim Bucktu and his wife Mandy Bucktu, who are joining us online from Wolverhampton. I'll also introduce four very familiar players of the game who are joining us from their own homes too to play Just a Minute. So on my screen, it's girls on top, Zoe Lyons and Josie Lawrence, and boys on the bottom, Nish Kumar and Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. If you've heard the show before, you'll know I'll be asking them to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And believe it or not, that is trickier than it looks, as anybody who's watched a government press conference recently will be able to confirm. We turn first to the sensational Zoe Lyons, and the subject on the card for you, Zoe, is how to make an entrance. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on how to make an entrance? Your time starts now.
How to make an entrance. My preferred method is through a door, preferably if that particular portal is open. Otherwise, you look rather silly just bouncing off a closed vestibule type shutter.
Well, astonishingly, there's been a challenge. Giles, what could you possibly have to say there?
Well, a sort of verbal hysteria amounting to hesitation.
It was a hesitant entrance.
She was bouncing off the portals and the doors, and it was all getting too much for her and us.
I just realised there aren't many words for door, are there?
Well, I think Giles might have some.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, we shall see. Giles Brandreth, you have 46 seconds left to talk on the subject of how to make an entrance, starting now.
How to make an entrance? Well, I am building my own. I read somewhere that the great wartime Prime Minister Winston Churchill used to relax with a little bit of bricklaying. So I thought to myself, I will create my own aperture from the street.
Zoe has had her revenge. Zoe, what's your challenge? This
might be a bit pernickety, but there were two uses of the word own there. My own, and there was another own popped in.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm building my own.
I see, this is the way we're playing, is it?
Yeah, it is now. Yeah. I wouldn't be this brave in the studio, but because we are several miles apart, I just feel quite pumped.
You could pop round in an Uber and hurl something at your portal.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? This far into a lockdown, I'd pay for that.
Zoe, you have owned Giles there. He did repeat own. So, Zoe, you have 31 seconds on the subject of how to make an entrance, starting now.
When I create an entrance, so to speak, I like to come from behind the curtains. The lights are on me. The microphone is there. The audience are waiting for me to say the first words. And it's so...
Giles again.
Repetition of for me, if we're playing that way. F-O-R-L-E said twice in the space of 8 seconds.
Oh, this is a grudge match now, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, I will allow that, but I think, will you two just either get over it or get a room?
With a portal in it.
Okay, so Giles, I will allow that challenge, and you now have 18 seconds left to speak on how to make an entrance, starting now.
In younger and happier days, I was lucky enough to know the great Danny LaRue, a female impersonator but also an extraordinary star. He could make an entrance, and I do remember once sharing a dressing room with him, dressed in my little Bo Peep outfit, and together we walked onto the stage, me holding his hand and the great glorious diva that was Dan leading the way, making an entrance that was quite beautiful.
Well, with that beautiful mental image of him dressed as Little Bo Peep, Giles was speaking at the end of that round and gains a point. The scores at the moment are Nish and Josie, you are on 0 points yet to start, but it's still early.
Early days. I've got them exactly where I want them.
And with that grudge match, Zoe, you scored 1 point, but Giles is in the lead on 3 points. So now we move on to the lovely Josie Lawrence. And Josie, we have a lovely subject for you, which is Agatha Christie. Tell us what you know about Agatha Christie, starting now.
Agatha Christie was a wonderful, famous writer, gave us things like Murder on the Orient Express, Death on the Nile, The Crooked House, and plagiarising now so I don't repeat myself, killing someone at the Vicarage. I was lucky enough to be in 2 Agatha Christie adaptions. The Third Floor Flat was only my third bugger. Did I give it away then? I love her so much I got a bit excited about it.
Zoe, your challenge there was?
There was a bit of hesitation.
I know.
So we are allowing that challenge. And Zoe, you have 34 seconds on the subject of Agatha Christie, starting now.
My favourite Agatha Christie novel is Death on the Nile, which follows a group of tourists who take that famous river route through Egypt. And they all get deli belly because they ate something a bit dodgy at the buffet. And one by one, they've succumbed to their...
Josie, what did Zoe succumb to there?
A repetition of one.
Oh, yes, one by one.
What an idiot!
I wondered why there was such a massive groan from the audience. I was like...
Easily done, and it was a correct challenge. So, Josie, you have 19 seconds left on Agatha Christie, starting now.
It was called The Third Floor Flat.
Yes, Giles?
The third. You mentioned the third twice before, and then this, you've begun again with the third.
Yes, all right.
You were correct, Giles. So you have 16 seconds to talk about Agatha Christie, starting now.
Dame Agatha Christie wrote what is the longest-running play in the history of West End theatre, The Mousetrap. I'm about to reveal to you who done it. This is slightly a shocking thing to do on Radio 4 and possibly will lose the British Broadcasting Corporation its licence fee because people will be so scandalised.
No spoilers on this channel. Speaking at the end of that round was, of course, Giles Brandreth, who gains a point. Which means that the scores at the moment, Nish doing exactly as well as he expected, has 0 points.
Lining them up. I'm just lining them up.
Josie and Zoe are both doing terribly well with 2. And Giles is doing terribly, terribly well with 5. Now we move to the fabulous Nish Kumar, and let's see what the cards have in store for you. It's nominative determinism. Can you tell us what that means? Starting now.
The concept of nominative determinism is a fascinating one. It is the idea that if you name a child something, they will grow up to embody the virtues of that philosophical idea. For example, if I had been named Nish Bad at Just a Minute, that would have been a completely accurate reflection of my skills at this particular game. Similarly, if you call someone Joe Football, then it's more than likely that they will end up becoming a professional player of that sport. Equally, Fred Cricket, the same applies. If someone's off...
Okay, that was Zoe buzzing in.
Bit harsh, but there was a bit of a hesitation there. I mean, it was going fairly slowly. It was just... I mean, I know you were concentrating, Nish. I could feel it.
Yeah, listen to those boos. The nation loves an underdog.
I mean, there was a gap there that you could have, I don't know, parked a bike in or something. It just felt like a bit too long of a gap in between words there, so a slight hesitation.
Well, and sometimes one has to do not what is popular, but what is right. And in this case, Zoe, your challenge was correct. And
can't believe this.
It's harsh, it's harsh.
It's like a referee giving a penalty against Azerbaijan in the World Cup. You're like, they're struggling enough as it is.
So, Zoe, a correct challenge. You now have 13 seconds on the subject of nominative determinism, starting now.
That was a correct challenge because my name is Zoe Spoilsport, and if I hadn't picked Nish up on his particular hesitation there, I would not have been conforming to nominative determinism. I was so pleased being able to say nominative determinism that I threw myself completely.
And look who challenged you.
Oh.
It could only be Nish Kumar. And do you know what? This is the most beautiful thing that I've ever witnessed, because not only has he challenged, but Nish has challenged with 1 second left on the clock. This is what we call cosmic justice. So, Nish, to speak on the subject of nominative determinism, you have 1 second. Go!
Nominative determinism.
The crowd are on their feet.
Justice is done.
Nish was speaking at the end of that round, and Nish wins a point. Which means you have 1 point. Josie has 2, Zoe has 3, and still in the lead, it's Giles on 5. So now we move to the marvellous Giles Brandreth. And the subject for you, Giles, is a bit of oomph, which is tremendously fun to say. Do you know anything about a bit of oomph? Of course you do, Giles. So let's hear it, starting now.
A bit of oomph. At least I know how to spell it. Double O-M-P-H. Bond with bazzaz. That's my idea of a bit of oomph. Coming along with sparkle, energy and joie de vivre. Before playing just a minute to begin the day with a bit of oomph, I have a cold shower and then drink half a glass of chilled urine that I'd prepared in the fridge. That gives me that oomph, that sense of oomph that one really does need to make your mouth pucker up and feel that you're ready for the game. I then run on the spot, furiously, jumping up and down in the air, showing that I have more than a bit of oomph. I've got a whole load of extraordinary energy coming from me, seeping across the room, making me realise that a bit of oomph can go a long way when you are playing an extraordinary game like this one. Because a bit of oomph is something...
I'm going to have to stop you as much as we were enjoying that.
The oomph has gone.
The oomph has... Nish, you challenged. What is the basis for your challenge?
I thought there was repetition of the word game.
What?
Because you said you were getting ready for the game. Listen, no one is as surprised as I am, okay? As I was thinking it, I was like, I can't believe I've actually played this properly.
Well, there you are.
Giles, remind me never to go around to your house for a drink. Ever again. That is not Chardonnay.
So back in the game, Nish Kumar with a correct challenge. So it's your turn with 7 seconds left.
Oh, come on.
It's cruel, but that's what's happened. Do you have the oomph to talk about a bit of oomph? Yes, you do. Nish Kumar, you may begin now.
In order to summon a bit of oomph, in order to play just a minute, I drink a glass of Giles's urine.
Yes, so Giles?
In order. He said in order to twice.
He did indeed.
Yeah.
So Giles, you have 3 seconds left on the subject of a bit of oomph starting now.
The trumpet sound, the clash of the... Oh my goodness, what a noise it makes. Well, that was very generous. Very generous, because I got myself all tumbled up.
But you had oomph, and that was the only thing that mattered.
I stumbled over my own specimen bottle.
So, at the end of that round, Giles was speaking and gains a point.
Yes.
So, as we move into round 2, the audience on the video call might notice there's a slight change to our much-loved format, as this is the swimsuit round, and you are all looking incredibly fetching. Anyway, speedos aside, not speedos aside in that way, speedos aside, the rules remain unchanged. And Zoe, we are back with you. And the subject on the card is a gift horse. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on a gift horse? Starting now.
If you do visit me in my current abode, please do not bring me a gift horse because pets aren't allowed in the flat that I am living in. The worst thing about a gift horse is trying to re-gift it to somebody else because I'm not that keen on horses, so I won't be keeping it as a present, but rather wrapping it and trying to pass it on to other persons. You never look a gift horse in the mouth. The reason being is because they can bite, because they know they're not that popular. So will they try and attach themselves to you? Yes.
Josie. Josie, what did you wish to say?
Repetition of try.
You are correct, Josie. There was repetition and you have 26 seconds left on the subject of a gift horse starting now.
I bought my Auntie Florrie a gift horse. It was Bezic, I think, or Capi de Monte, not quite sure. But it was beautiful, made of clay, a shire horse, all glossy paints with little leather saddle. You couldn't look this gift house in the mouth because it had no mouth to speak of. I'm said mouth.
Zoe, what was your challenge there?
Yes, there were two mouths.
Yes,
there.
Two mouths.
And an horse as well earlier on. We let that one go.
Yes, so Zoe, correct challenge. You have 6 seconds left on the subject of a gift horse starting now.
Last Christmas, I decided to buy the entire family a range of gift horses. They each got one from a...
Zoe, we'll speak at the end of that round. Zoe, you get 1 point. So excitingly, the scores are now Nish is on 2, Josie is on 3, Zoe is on 5, and Giles is on 7. Josie Lawrence, we now turn to you, and a very appropriate subject for you is common sense. Can you speak without hesitation on common sense starting now?
I know not to touch the bottom of a... I know not to touch... I mean, that was terrible.
It was a common sense buzz in from Zoe. Zoe, what is your challenge?
There was a hesitation there, a sort of...
I think I've peaked.
But I do want to know what she doesn't touch the bottom of. What bottoms don't you touch, just because that was lovely?
An iron.
Oh, OK, fine, fair enough.
I mean, a lot of us do that, don't we? We touch the bottoms of irons to see if they're on.
No.
Well, I do anyway.
OK, so Zoe, you now inherit the topic of common sense.
No.
Begin now.
Common sense, of course, is bestowed upon us all in different amounts. The general public seems to have very little common sense at times. I myself have quite a large amount of common sense.
Josie, back to you.
A little bit of a stumble there.
There was a little bit of a stumble there.
No hesitation.
So, Josie, it's back to you with 45 seconds remaining. Will you speak on the subject of common sense now?
Well, common sense is almost like our sixth sense. It helps our judgment and keeps us out of danger. So I imagine thousands of years ago, a caveman would eat a particular mushroom that grew under a tree, fall down dead, and his pals would know not to mange on that particular fungi ever again. Common sense is never really with me when I'm dating. If a chap says, "Come to a satanic ritual. It's fun."
I was really enjoying where that was going. I enjoyed "monge on a fungi" is one of my favourite things I've heard in a long time. And then dating Satanists. I mean, Nish, what was your objection to any of that?
I mean, I think there was a bit of hesitation on I think as Josie was genuinely thinking, am I about to say this thing? Yeah.
I didn't go.
On the satanic date.
The satanic date. Well, I guess they're horny. welcome.
Do you know what? I'm going to give you a point for that.
Thank you.
Nish, yes, you were correct, challenge. You now have 15 seconds left. You can either take satanic dating or common sense for the rest of your time. I think common sense beginning now.
Common sense dictates that in order to complete this round of just a minute, I should say as few things as slowly as humanly possible. However, I was not blessed with common sense at birth. I was cursed.
The old slow talking Kumar.
That's what they used to call me in the Old West.
Well, it paid off for you because you were speaking at the end of the round. You do get that point for speaking at the end of the round. Well done, Nish. So Josie and Nish have 4 and Giles and Zoe are both in the lead on 7. It's now time to turn to Nish. Nish, we've got something a little special for you. How to get dressed on the beach. Can you advise? Your time starts now.
How to get dressed on the beach is a question that vexes many people such as I, who are profoundly and correctly ashamed of our nude bodies, largely because they're covered in hair or because the genitals are...
Now, Giles, sparing us all from that.
In fairness, I have seen the naked Nish. Some years ago, I was a devotee of a television programme called The Bugle, in which he appeared in the nude. I think he will confirm this. And he revealed his gorgeously hirsute body. And those of us who like a chuckle, and those of us who like an erotic charge got that. Anyway, so the point of the story is... I was saving his blushes, and it was deviation from the truth, because he's not ashamed of his body, he's proud of it. He's shown it on network television.
Yes, I think we will allow you. He was deviating from all decency.
I've got to say, I've never been so relieved to be buzzed in my entire life.
So, Giles, thank you for saving us. You will continue on the subject of how to get dressed on the beach now.
How to get dressed on the beach is something nobody should do. The beach is for running naked and free, for rolling in the sand, for frolicking among the dunes, for letting the wonderful beach flora and fauna brush against your skin, giving you a sensation of being at one with nature. It's a horror to get dressed on the beach. People who live in glass houses should undress in the basement, but those who dress on the beach should be profoundly ashamed of themselves. It is nudity, nakedness, and the raw skin of mankind and womankind. What was wrong?
Zoe is about to tell us what was wrong.
As much as I was enjoying that, I think there were 2 skins.
What?
There was definitely...
No, there was skin, and then there was skins, 2 separate words.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We are going to give Giles the benefit of the doubt, and you have just 7 seconds, Giles, to continue on how to get dressed on the beach, starting now.
How to get dressed on the beach is something that's quite awkward unless you have a windbreak behind which you can shelter when attempting to pull on your bathing costume.
So at the end of that deeply erotic round, Giles was speaking and he wins the point. And at this stage in the match, we have Nish is on 4, Josie is on 4, Zoe is on 7, and Giles is in the lead on 9. So now we move on to the final round, and to the lovely Giles, please will you start us off on the art of queuing, starting now.
The art of queuing, I thought it had disappeared, but it's back, and that's glorious news. Lockdown, with limited chances to go out of doors, has revived the art of queuing. I see people outside the local coffee shop, 3 metres apart, in a queue that stretches right around the pond and over to the high street. Recently, when I went with a lot of other old codgers to get my vaccination, we were there, jabbers together, in a beautiful queue. Elderly...
Josie!
I'm sorry, but it was a repetition of queue.
Oh.
And the subject is queuing, so it was... So, Josie, yes, a correct challenge. You have 31 seconds left on queuing, starting now.
I'm rather good, I believe, at the art of queuing. Even before, as Giles has said, the lockdown, where we're all getting very used to queuing, I loved speaking to people, you see, so I would join any old line of people to talk to. Some...
That was Zoe.
There were two people. Yes. Which I know constitutes a queue, but yes,
it does.
Yes, there were two people in the queue.
It was a correct challenge, Zoe, so you have 15 seconds left on the art of queuing, starting now.
I'm not very good at the art of queuing. I get very bored quite easily, so I try to entertain myself by perhaps looking at my phone or taking in the news or staring at the back of the person's head in front of me and counting the number of hairs.
At the end of the game, everybody played absolutely marvellously, but as the final whistle goes, we have Nish Kumar on 4 points. Josie Lawrence on 5. And it absolutely delights me to say that we have joint winners, Giles and Zoe, both on 9 points.
Yay!
Well done, everyone. And there, like a clown jumping out of the cake at a funeral, we must make our excuses and leave. Thank you very much to our panel, Zoe Lyons, Josie Lawrence, Nish Kumar and Giles Brandreth. The show was devised by Ian Messiter. Caroline Barlow blew the whistle with great authority. The producer was Victoria Lloyd, who makes the show for BBC Studios. I have been Lucy Porter, saying thanks for listening, and do join us again when we next play Just a Minute. Goodbye!
Yeah.